joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined, as always, by Mr. Luke Mathers on my third favorite Wednesday of the week. Luke, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Will. Glad to be with you here on a Wednesday. We're going to be joined later in the hour for a little recombobulation. Dan Schaefer of the recombobulation area going to be joining us at 12:30. So really looking forward to that conversation. But let's dive into today's Town Call subject, Will.
And today's Town Call subject, Luke, we touched on it yesterday. Election season in Wisconsin never ends. Protecting democracy is a 24/7 endeavor. The special election in my neck of the woods, the 24th Assembly District. The results coming in last night, Republican Paul Molodic defeats Democrat Bob Tatterson. But Luke, the question I'd like to ask the people of Wisconsin, based on the results that we will jump into momentarily, do you think these results are a sign of things to come, or was this just a one-off special election as Molodic defeated Tatterson by about 800 votes or 7 points? You compare this to November's race where Bob Tatterson was defeated by Dan Knodel by 24 points, and we can see a very quickly shifting wins, particularly in these type of communities. Now, Luke, I have plenty of thoughts on the matter. Obviously, I am in this community, and full disclosure, Bob is both a good friend of mine and a really good human being. I worked with his leadership team in this race, and I was really excited to have somebody who I thought represented my interests and what I want to see out of my state government. Unfortunately, the election did not go as I had hoped. However, I think the results show that these communities are changing, and they're changing quickly. Luke, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's important to share a quote that Tatterson gave to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel after last night's results. Tatterson said, "I have no doubt Paul will use his office to fight for the values of this district, fiscal responsibility, smaller government, and equality education to create the best environment possible for Wisconsin families and business." I'm sorry, that was Brian Schimming's quote. I'm reading too far away. I'm getting used to this setup. That was the state chairman for the Republican Party speaking on Molodic's win.
But Tatterson, I was going to say that did not sound like
right,
the quote that I had read.
It's a Wednesday that feels like a Monday. I don't know the excuse, Will, but I got one. But the quote from Tatterson after the loss was, "Although I do not believe the results are in the best interests of this district, I completely respect the democratic process and the will of the voters. Our state and country needs unity, and that's why I'm rooting for Representative-elect Molodic's success, even though we may disagree on how to address some issues facing our district and state." And so very, very thoughtful concession, I thought, from Tatterson in losing the special election yesterday in the 24th Assembly District, but not questioning the results, not questioning the validity of the outcome or anything like that. So a very professional move by Tatterson. It will be interesting to see. As you pointed out, the trends in that area of the state are changing. This was about a 7 percentage point margin for the 24th Assembly District. Will, it was a 22-point margin last November. And so it is interesting to see whether this is a one-off or if this is just a continuation of the trends. We want to hear your thoughts. Do you believe this is a sign of things to come, or is this just you got to chalk it up as a special election? And maybe there's some election fatigue among voters in the area. 844-967-2789. You can share your thoughts with us here on Town Call. But Will, it is going to absolutely be something to keep an eye on. And as these vote totals roll in from yesterday's special election, it's going to be something that continues to be analyzed going forward.
Mm-hmm. The victorious candidate in this race, Paul Molodic, netted about 54% of the total votes compared to Dan Knodel's victorious campaign in November, where he was at 61% of the votes. Again, Very massive shift. But I think, Luke, we got to compare it as well to the 8th Senate District special election that we talked about frequently over the past few months in April. That was a 1,296 vote difference between Dan Knoedl and Jody Habish-Sinikin, about 1.8 points in a plus 7 to 9-ish district, depending on who you ask. I mean, I think these races showed that the WOW communities, which have been a staple of the Republican electoral victories, are no longer the safe haven that they once were. People are changing. People are coming to terms with the fact that these elected officials may not have their best interests in heart. One thing that I do want to note regarding last night's election that I think is fascinating is, of the 7 municipalities that have voters in the 24th district, Democrat Bob Tatterson won 5 of those. 8 months ago, Tony Evers did not win a single one. Results by municipality showed that the town of Grafton went plus 27R. Grafton Village went plus 3 Democrat. Mequon City, plus 3 Democrat. Menominee Falls Village went to the Democrat. The town of Germantown, where I was actually knocking doors yesterday, went to the Democrat. The village of Germantown, where I live and grew up, was still plus 17 Republican, as expected. However, these are, as we noted, seats that have been stereotypically conservative for years and years and years. And I think the Tatterson campaign did an excellent job of reaching out to voters that might not have heard from their elected representative for a number of years because they were assumed to be safe. Realistically, boots on the ground organizing. And if you want to build the type of movement that I think a lot of Wisconsinites and a lot of Americans want to see, a strong working class centered progressive movement, you need to be talking to all of the voters because each one of our vote matters. And democracy relies on all of us being able to participate.
Yeah, and so we're going to be able to dive into some of these numbers a little deeper and recombobulate around them. Coming up with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Coming up next segment at 12:30. But Will, it's something to keep an eye on. I think something else to keep an eye on. We got some other headlines around the state of Wisconsin here. As we broke on the air yesterday, Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, confirming that she was the 3rd state elections official to sit down with federal investigators into the plot to overturn the 2020 election here in Wisconsin. And kind of a tangential update on that as well. The Attorney General in neighboring state Michigan announcing charges yesterday for the 16 fraudulent electors in Michigan. Again, those are state charges, not federal charges. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of this is continuing, but that is an update from our neighbors to the east. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel charging the 16 fraudulent electors there. And that is an aspect of what it is believed to be that the federal investigators are looking to in as well, as the plot to overturn and swap out the state's the 10 electoral votes for fake electors, signaling that Donald Trump won when, in fact, Joe Biden had 21,000 more votes in 2020 than former President Donald Trump. So an update,
Josh Gall, are you listening, Josh Gall? Because if you are, why don't I swoop this link into that old inbox? I'll shoot you a DM and maybe we can follow up on this. Luke, I do want to note as well that of the 16 people that are being charged, it includes the former state GOP co-chair, Michonne Maddock, as well as state Republican National Committee woman, Kathy Burden. Michelle Lundgren, who was also charged, told the NBC affiliate WDIV of Detroit, quote, "She thought she was signing an attendance sheet for a meeting. I didn't even know what an elector was, let alone a fake elector," she told the station. So these are simultaneously high-ranking Michigan Republican Party members that are also, I don't know if they just think the majority of the population is dumb, if they think we're incredibly ignorant, if they think that we just don't care or what, but this is not a field trip. You know, this is not your 4th grade field trip to the local museum where you need to make sure that you sign in to let the teacher know you're here today so that we don't leave you at the museum. This is a pretty, pretty big deal trying to overturn a United States presidential election.
Yeah, and I believe which state it was escapes me. I want to say it's North Carolina, but I could be wrong. But there were some of these individuals participating in this plot to overturn the electoral votes in states around swing states around the country. Some of these fraudulent electors signed forms that said only like these only count as duly. We're only going to say we're duly elected electors if the other ones get tossed out. So they kind of gave themselves an out in signing those ones. No such inclusion, I believe, for the fraudulent electors here in Wisconsin or in the state of Michigan, where those state charges are coming down for the participation in this scheme. So it will be interesting to see what happens. Again, the third Wisconsin elections official, the WEC's administrator Megan Wolf, confirming that she has in recent months sat down with Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, looking into this scheme. And so three different officials here in Wisconsin confirming that those interviews. We've got charging updates in the state of Michigan for state charges surrounding the fraudulent electors. And one more quick headline here, Will, before we wrap up this segment.
If I might add before you jump into the last headline, the 16 people being charged in Michigan, they allegedly met in the basement of the state's Republican Party headquarters, and they signed multiple certificates claiming they were, quote, the duly elected and qualified electors for president and vice president of the United States of America for the state of Michigan, unquote. So they did not offer themselves a little bit of an out there. I have to wonder, is there going to be a conspiracy and or a RICO indictment coming for the Michigan State Republican Party? Because clearly they were involved in a very similar matter to the Wisconsin Republican Party, where I believe Scott Fitzgerald was the one that was hosting everybody in the Capitol.
Then State Senate Majority Leader and Congressman-elect Scott Fitzgerald, his office coordinating for a room reservation in the Wisconsin Capitol here surrounding that scheme. But one final headline, something we've been keeping an eye on, is we've got a new proposal circulating through the Wisconsin legislature that would create a tax exemption, Will, for all retirement income for Wisconsin residents over the age of 67. Does this completely blow a hole in Robin Voss's plan to have more snowbirds flock to Wisconsin to address the tax and the workforce shortage the state is facing, Will?
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in the Voss snowbird philosophy. I think snowbirds are going to save the Wisconsin economy. I, of course, am being incredibly facetious, but, you know, at least it gives you something to talk about. It gives him a point to reiterate time and time again.
It will be interesting to keep an eye on that proposal, but a interesting proposal, to say the least. It would exempt all Wisconsinites over the age of 65, not all, but all of them would be eligible. The first $100,000, if their individual filers are $150,000 of retirement income. So we'll keep an eye on that. We're going to be joined by Dan Schaefer. You can join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media.
A fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are joined today by Dan Schaefer of the recombobulation area. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. That was some incredible bit of production you've got there to introduce my segment here. My goodness.
Well, you
I'm
know,
blown away.
Dan, I had a little bit of a grievance, and in a previous show of mine, you joined me on Tuesdays for a little recombobulation, and that day got a book then during the let's say, intermission between me being on some shows. And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have some fun with these Wednesday appearances for the Recombobulation Area with you, Dan Schaefer. And I want to thank Todd on the production team because he helped me out. But we cranked that one out, and it was a lot of fun. We're going to have some fun here on Wednesdays at 12:30.
It is beautiful.
Love it. You got the Bobby Portis clips in there. It's just perfect. Perfect.
There we go. Well, we're glad that you could join us here on the airwaves across Civic Media. And Dan, we got a little recombobulating to do surrounding a special, special election in your neck of the woods, Will's neck of the woods, the northern suburbs of Milwaukee, and some changes that are going on there with voter trends. What can you share with the listeners about your takeaways from last night's results?
Yeah, so I mean, the main takeaway, of course, is that the Republicans held a seat in the assembly. Paul Melotic was victorious in the special election for the seat in the 24th Assembly District, which was vacated by Dan Knodel, who narrowly won election in April to become the state senator for that region. But this is a district that became heavily Republican after the last round of redistricting. It had a 24-point Republican lean. Knodel won this by more than 20 points in November when he was reelected. But in the election last night, it was just a single-digit victory for the Republican candidate. And, you know, I think it's a special election. It's held at a weird time. Turnout was down, all caveats involved. But at the same time, you know, in a 20-point Republican district, to have a single digit margin is pretty significant. And I think is indicative of the way things have been trending in the WOW counties, particularly in Waukesha and Ozaukee counties. You know, I think I saw some results here that Menominee Falls went majority for the Democratic candidate
won Menominee Falls. Yep.
And there's some other signs throughout the region that is just indicating that the red WOW county wall that has propped up GOP victories statewide in so many ways is really crumbling now, and it is shifting pretty significantly. I know the Democrat outspent the Republican in this race. I know it's an off-year cycle, but I was not expecting anywhere close to this close of a margin. And I think it's pretty significant and the latest indicator of how the suburbs around Milwaukee are shifting to the left.
Now, Dan, I have to add, I was expecting it. However, I was pretty close to the race. So yeah, I had a little bit more information than I think the standard observer might. When we were getting results back last night, obviously this was unofficial, but Menominee Falls was 9 votes. Single digit votes separated the two candidates. Incredible, incredible how close some of these communities really were. But it was... I have to agree with you. I think that it's a combination of obviously the special election time frame. People are out of town. They're busy in the middle of the summer. They have election fatigue, right? So many races have come up over the last 6. This was the third major race in my area alone that we've had to be going through. And that's not counting. Obviously, the Supreme Court race was on the same ballot, as was the Senate race and the gubernatorial. But specifically for the 24th AD, second election we've had since November, plus the 8th Senate district that includes the 24th AD, there's a lot of people coming to your door, a lot of mailers, a lot of phone calls and texts that you're getting. It's almost overwhelming. And that's actually something that I heard at a lot of the doors was, boy, doesn't this ever end? And of course, to that, we had to say, nope, no, it does not. Election season's 24/7. Democracy will always need protecting.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. If you've got a question for him or want to share your thoughts on last night's special election results, 844-967-2789. Let's head on over to the phone lines. We got Tom in McFarland calling in. Tom, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Hello, thanks for taking my call. And, you know, in regards to Wallace's strategy, I think that you nailed it earlier when he had said this is about the votes. If you take a look at, you know, the states that have implemented this policy, you do see an increase in senior citizen population. Wisconsin is already a very much razor-thin swing state. I mean, the Republicans consistently you know, within a margin of like 0.5%. 0.5%. If you take a look at how they have been trying to make it harder for the college-age students who traditionally skew overwhelmingly Democratic, bring in some senior citizens who overwhelmingly skew Republican, it won't take much of a percentage shift to move that needle that they're looking for. I believe, I'm not sure in Michigan what the rate was, but I know in Illinois, the senior citizen population went up a couple of percentage points. And that's all it would take here in Wisconsin to have a very meaningful difference. So I think that's entirely his plan, is to bring in more senior voters whom can vote Republican, while at the same time making it more difficult to have the younger population vote who tend to skew Democrat. That's my thought on that.
And Tom, you're referencing the potential piece of legislation that's floating around the Capitol to change and exempt retirement individuals here in Wisconsin over the age of 67 from income taxes on that retirement income. It will be interesting to keep an eye on. There's still a $4 billion surplus after this round of the budget negotiations. So what kind of legislation is going to occur throughout the rest of this calendar year? It will be interesting to keep an eye on for that. We're also talking the special election here in Wisconsin with those results. Now we know, Dan, after the outcome last night, that the Republican caucus in the state assembly now, with Paul Molodik getting elected in last night's special election, only two votes shy of a supermajority. Your thoughts on what the consequences now mean with this outcome?
Yeah, I think, it kind of gets back to just where we were before Knodel ran for state Senate. So, but I think it's also, it's two votes is a really slim margin. And if, if Robin Voss calls caucus in for a veto override vote, it's going to be important for Democrats to stay united. And I think they have been in the assembly. And I think, Greta Neubauer and some of the other leaders in the state assembly have been really focused on maintaining a priority of preserving the governor's veto at all costs, when those overrides may come up. But we also know Robin Voss being Robin Voss, there's the real potential for shenanigans at all times. And you never know if he's going to call something at a weird time, or, maybe he is aware of an assembly member being out of town or something like that, that might, impact a potential veto override vote. So don't always be on the lookout for shenanigans when it comes to Robin Voss. But yeah, I think, this kind of keeps things where they were more or less. But just with the shift in this, I think these types of Milwaukee suburban races are going to be becoming more and more competitive as we look ahead to next year.
Yeah, it is going to absolutely be something to keep an eye on. And I would have to research this a little bit more, but I don't know it off the top of my head. Can a veto override vote be called at any time, or is there a time restriction on when vetoes can be overridden?
I don't have the
that's going to be something that will be interesting to keep an eye on.
I'll have to check in with our friends over at the Legislative Reference Bureau, who are good at fielding a lot of my annoying questions about these kinds of things.
Friends in high places is always important.
One other point I wanted to make on this race here, the Assembly District 24, was that this is one of the districts that saw some of the greatest changes in the redistricting cycle. So we had,
I believe, this, it was the greatest change. It went from like +3 to +24.
Yeah, in the assembly, I believe it was the single biggest shift of any district. It basically, what happened is it traded cities like Brown Deer, Glendale, for some Ozaukee County cities like Grafton that were in there instead. And I think, this is something that I wrote about when the redistricting process happened, is that they had built this, it was supposed to be a lease change. In many places, it was not, particularly in the Milwaukee suburbs. And they kind of built that those new maps to, to understand where the shift was heading. So They really shored up a lot of Milwaukee suburban districts that were trending to the left and really zoomed them different directions. So this was a district that changed really significantly. And I think under old maps, this would have flipped. I'm pretty confident looking at the results, looking at where the votes came in, that under old maps, this absolutely would have flipped for the Democrat. So it's going to be really interesting, you know, when we have this new liberal majority in the Supreme Court, when we have further challenges to these maps, the way that this breaks. And I think this is, you know, going to be a highlight on the Milwaukee suburbs, because that is where they, you know, anticipated those shifts and built the maps to kind of absorb those shifts as well.
Well, yeah, the only three assembly districts that flipped from the 2011 maps were in the Milwaukee area. This district being one of the closest ones to become the fourth one flipped back when there was still those 2011 maps. So you're saying, though, that even not taking fair maps into consideration, like, say, a independent redistricting process here in Wisconsin, you believe under those 2011 maps that this district, or the outcome in this district last night for its special election, could have been different?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was in 2020 when Dan Knuttel won re-election. He won by, you know, just over 1,000 votes or something like that. It was a pretty small margin. I think a lot of people... Yeah, I think, you know, Emily Segrist was a really good candidate. She was, you know, it made that a really close race.
In 18 and 20, Dan, both 18 right, yeah. and 20 were very close.
Exactly. And I think it, you know, 18 was one, and then she narrowed it for 20. And I think it was all heading in that direction. And then they moved the goalposts so significantly so that it would not flip. So I think, you know, this election in many ways was won when those maps were adopted.
I don't know, Dan.
I'll take that a step further even, Dan. Rather than saying that the results would or could have been different with the old maps, I would almost guarantee the results would have been different with the old maps. This campaign was putting in a lot of work with a lot of houses and subdivisions that really hadn't been talked to for years and years and years. They went out of their way to specifically target voters that I think feel left out by the process. And that's, you know, that's part of organizing at the ground level.
Well, and that's the right approach, too, because even if you don't win this one, it builds the infrastructure to have those connections and have that long term view of for lasting change in lasting political change in the state of Wisconsin. So I think, you know, every district, every time got to compete. And I think moving this from a 20-point victory to what it was at a 7 or 8 point victory is pretty significant.
I don't know, Dan. I might like the Wednesday appearances better, because rather than speculating about elections on Tuesday and then having to wait a whole week to discuss the results with you, we got the opportunity to dive in and recombobulate around them the day after. This is kind of nice. Maybe it was a blessing in disguise. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We're going to continue the conversations and take your phone calls when we return. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and true.
Begins with Tom and Crude, then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show on Mad Radio, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, shoot us a text or give us a call, 844-967-2789. We are joined today by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We are talking special election in the 24th Assembly District and all other things Wisconsin. Dan, before the break, we were getting into a little bit of the details revolving, obviously, the results of the special election. And you briefly touched on the announcement from Michigan today that the attorney general is going to be charging the 16 false electors over their efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Wisconsin's going to do, because we have a similar dynamic here where we had this slate of false electors that Ron Johnson was trying to pass along to Mike Pence. I believe he was trying to pass along both Wisconsin and Michigan's false electors to Mike Pence. So interesting to see what you know, consequences might befall Ron Johnson. He often seems to evade them. But I think, you know, you have to call into question the 10 fake electors from Wisconsin, particularly someone like Bob Spindell, who is the current vice chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and was appointed by Senator Devin Lemieux and did so after Spindell was a fake elector. And, you know, I'm really wondering what Attorney General Josh Call is going to do here. You know, I know there are some other cases involving this. I know there's a federal case. I know there's another, you know, something that's going to be tried in 2024 relating to this false electors. But I'm just wondering why the approach is different in Wisconsin than it is in Michigan.
Well, in Ron Johnson's defense, Dan, his involvement, according to himself, only lasted for a course of a couple of seconds. So I don't know if we allow conspiracies as long as it's, you know, the 5 second rule with like dropping food on the ground or something. But that's above my pay grade.
Yeah, I guess if you're trying to overturn an election and make your role in it extremely brief, and then it'll be okay.
Is that like a running clock, though, or is that like something you can hit pause on? So you like you do like 15 seconds worth of the crimes, then you know, set it down, you go do something else, and you come back and just a couple more seconds. And I don't know how it would count, but it is an interesting
defense.
You're
giving his legal team ideas.
But maybe. We'll see. We'll see if they're listening. Who knows? But it is going to be something interesting to keep an eye on when it comes to the difference between Michigan and Wisconsin here. We do know that the top election official, though, Megan Wolf in the state, and the top election officials for the city, the two largest cities in Wisconsin, Milwaukee and Madison, have sat down with federal investigators with the understanding being, again, normally these investigations don't get talked about. You don't communicate it, but it is under the impression that this is surrounding the 2020 and 2021 plot to try to overturn those election results leading up to the violence at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. And so it will be interesting to see how those state charges potentially develop here in Wisconsin. If you want to share a thought with us here on Town Call, you can do so. Call or text 844-967-2789. Up next on this Wednesday afternoon, we got Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, regarding Ron Johnson, I thought the last I heard, he said, I was only involved for about an hour. So then it's sort of like, you know, a crook comes into a bank, pulls up the teller, and then she presses the alarm, and he runs out of the bank. I was only in there for a minute and a half, so I'm innocent. What? But more to the point, I guess, what you're talking about now is the fraudulent elector scheme, and that's the elephant in the room that not one single Republican is dealing with. They're downplaying the insurrection, the violent part of the insurrection on January 6th. Some of them are saying, oh, it's just a normal tourist visit. Others are saying things like, oh, those people involved were patriots. They were just trying to do what they thought was right. But none of them, not one single Republican that I have ever heard, has disavowed this attempt to, and this is what it was, overthrow America's government and our democracy by using this fraudulent elector scheme. That's got to be dealt with, and hopefully it will be dealt with before the election comes up next year in November. This is getting ridiculous. I mean, it's almost 3 years too late.
Well, Jack, it's important to point out there were two Republicans. They joined the House Select Committee on January 6th, former representatives in the House, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, but effectively they've been left behind by the Republican Party now. And so it is interesting to note that the individuals that were once in the Republican Party and stood up for and called it that, as you referenced it, an attempt to overthrow free and fair elections in our country, they no longer have a seat in the House of Representatives. They've had to since retire from representative government. We appreciate the phone call, Jack. You can be like Jack, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media, and we are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, if individuals want to learn more about the writing that you're doing or, say, really cool events that you're putting on, like commemorating the most fantastic sports moments in Milwaukee history, in my opinion, those are my words, where can listeners go more to find out about events like that?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Luke, because at the recombobulation area, you can, of course, find all of our opinion and analysis and news reporting at the recombobulationarea.substack.com. But this week, we are joining forces with our friends over at Milwaukee Record to present a rewatch of the greatest moment in Milwaukee sports history, the Game 6 of the 2021 NBA Finals on the two-year and a day anniversary of that momentous, glorious event. And we will be holding that at the Cooperage in Milwaukee. Doors will open at 6:30. We're going to be getting the game started about 7:30. I will MC the event. My good friend Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record will be DJing. And the event's free. And we got a sponsor and everything. And you can get free drinks. Come check it out. Come celebrate and remember the greatest moment in Milwaukee sports history and watch Giannis make all of those free throws again.
All of them. And will there be 50 chicken nuggets there for everyone to share, or is everybody expected to bring their own 50 piece?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe I'll swing by Chick-fil-A on my way to, I guess Culver's is maybe the better option, keep it Wisconsin. I think Giannis did a Culver's thing later on. So maybe we'll get like a bunch of Culver's buffalo chicken tenders, which is also one of my favorites anyway. So that'll be good.
Winner either way you do it. That is excellent. Well, if you want to learn more about that event, head over to the recombobulation area. Follow Dan online on Twitter and Instagram. Dan Schaefer, we really appreciate you joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. And we look forward to having you join us again next Wednesday at 12:30.
Thanks for having me. Bucks and six.
There we go. Take Bucks easy, and six forever. People. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can find it on Civic Media's website. If you've got an idea for a future edition of Town Call, send us an email, towncall@civicmedia.us. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.